Praise you, Father. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And do a discussion on the gifts of the Spirit out of 1 Corinthians 12 and set the background and kind of get started in it today and then work on it some more next week. I don't know if this relates or not. Interesting, I was watching a little bit of a thing on the Weather Channel about it happened in some other country where there it was raining and the rain was red. It was, they called it red rain because the rain was red, I guess. And they were trying, the people at the place, it was India, I think, or someplace like that, they interviewed the one lady and she said, I think God's trying to tell us something. And he's trying to warn us about something. And turned out, I think it's has something to do with a meteor had blasted in the system and the rain had come through it and turned it red. But mythology and all those kind of things, you've got to try to explain things as they go on to the best of our ability. And it becomes, well, it must be Apollo pulling the sun through the sky and all these things that have been said over the years, where we can go in the Bible and find out what God was really thinking about and what he had in mind when it comes to these things. So the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians 12. You want to read that on?
Me?
Yeah.
Praise God. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills.
Amen. Now, let's go back and look at the verses here and get the background that Paul was going about. First of all, consider that this is written to the Corinthians. I heard it said that Corinth of the day was the Las Vegas of the day. It was Sin City. It was whatever was going on that shouldn't be going on was going on in Corinth. I guess they probably said whatever happens in Corinth stays in Corinth, but I'm sure it didn't at the time, right? And so that had an effect on the people of the church. Paul spent a lot of time there developing the church. He was very instrumental by the Spirit of God of getting things started and moving things forward. And a couple of things that we note about the Corinthians is that especially the gift of tongues was very manifested in their services. And we also know that they were very carnal because Paul says it to them, you're very carnal. He was pretty honest with them. So we know, and then actually I think Diane was sharing just recently, the gifts can operate through carnal people. It's not just about how spiritual we are, and that's the only way that God can use it. Now, obviously it's better if we're spiritual, it's better if we're focused in the right direction, but Diane and I had the privilege of growing up in a Pentecostal church, and I think it's a privilege to see the operation of the gifts in church. Now, that brings out to mind a couple things because, first of all, it was never intended by God that it stayed inside the church, that they're only for inside the church. These are, if the gifts of the Spirit are going to operate, and if God wants them to operate, they'll operate anywhere. And I think that I know that myself, with my own thinking, relegated it to the church. And if you're not expecting it, if you're not expecting it to be used by God anywhere else, then you probably won't be. Or you'll be limited in how much you use by God in other places. Doesn't that make sense? But if you're out there expecting that the Spirit of God could use you, he will. He's looking for opportunities. And really, it's This is about our opportunity to be used by God in this supernatural equipment that he's given us to go out there and help people make a difference in their lives. Praise God. Every one of us are called to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not all apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, but we all should be born again, filled with the Spirit, and therefore have the ability to operate in these gifts as the Spirit wills in our lives. So verse 1 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. The word for gifts is not there in the original language. Really, he could be saying, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual things. And what are Christians most of the time ignorant about? Spiritual things. We should have some understanding of that. Probably because a lot of times there's no interest. We get out of church and then we go back to the world and we focus on those things. But the more we aren't ignorant, the more we're aware of what's going on, the more we can be used by the Spirit of God. I think that we're going to discover, I hope, that a lot of times what we thought was just a hunch or just a thought running through at the time was God trying to get something across to us, either for ourselves or for the people around us. Remember, the Holy Spirit, when we get born again, comes to live inside us, is that well springing up to everlasting life. But when we get baptized in the Spirit, there's rivers flowing out of us of the Spirit of God, and God wants us to use that to help other people. It's not so much I have this gift as it's for me. The gift is for me to minister to other people. So don't be ignorant. And then one of the translations, let's see. Bible in Basic English said, it's not right for you to be without teaching. So we're teaching. We're doing the best we can. Praise God. So, you know, because people were ignorant, a lot of times the church just decided, we'll just squash it. Any of us who brought up in Pentecost have seen what they used to call wildfire. We've seen misuse. In fact, I've made mistakes. And if you tried at all to be used in the gifts of the Spirit, you probably made a mistake somewhere along the way. So a lot of the church then just said, well, then we just won't do it. We'll stay away from it. Years ago, I was we wanted to use rent a building from another church. So, excuse me. So I asked the leaders there, and they said, well, we need to meet with you. So it was a certain denomination, and so I sat at a table, and there were elders all around the table, and it was a suspicious occasion or something. And they said, so what makes you different than us? So I figured I'd jump in with both feet and say it was probably the tongues issue, that we speak in tongues in our church. And they told me, oh, we believe in that. We just don't push it. We don't magnify it, which means it doesn't ever happen. And we don't have to make it happen, but we should be free. You have to get the Spirit in operation. Verse 2, for you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However you were led, these dumb idols. Just means they weren't able to speak. When you were Gentiles without God, probably the people of Corinth would have had some kind of a piece of stone, a piece of wood or something that was made like a god, and worshiping that. I mean, imagine, you know, you needed some help. So you got this piece of stone. Help me. Talk to me. I need a word. I guess he's not there today, you know. You remember in the Old Testament, one of the prophets made fun of the followers of Baal. Said, and actually, one translation says, maybe you better call out. He might be in the bathroom. You're not going to get any help from a piece of stone, but we can get help from the Holy Spirit. Verse 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. No one, that's the way that the Amplified Bible says, there's a, no one under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit is going to curse Jesus. And you know, you could make your mouth say just about anything, not under the influence of the Holy Spirit. But under the influence of the Holy Spirit, people aren't going to curse God. They aren't going to say Jesus is cursed. The word is anathema, associated with sin, synonymous with the curse, alienated from God, which is what people did at the time. Now, that's not, well, I'm not going to go in that direction. Let me read it for you in the Amplified. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit of God ever can say, Jesus be cursed. That no one can really say, Jesus is my Lord, except by and under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. Which says a lot of things if you think about it. If you're trying to help somebody get born again, you can't make them do it. Sometimes we force people to pray and lead them in a prayer. But if they're not being influenced by the Holy Spirit, if they're not allowing the Holy Spirit to influence them, it's just going to be some words that they'll say and it won't mean anything at all. Better to know that the Holy Spirit's leading us. Verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversities, various kinds. Different gifts distributed to different people. Thank God, thank God. It'd be boring if we all had the same ones. And really, when it comes down to it, what we need, I don't know if we're going to get time to go into all that, but what we need is we need the best gift at the time, which may be something different this time than it might be next time. Because what one person might need in one time might be a word, and another time they might need a prayer of a powerful prayer, a healing prayer, or something like that. Now, here's where the word gifts is actually in the original language. Diversities of gifts, and the word for gifts is charisma. I mean, you've heard that word before. And it's the basis of that is grace. So think about, because we've studied grace here, and put the understanding that we've come up with and understand now about grace, being God's ability is to do what we couldn't do on our own. So these gifts give us God's ability to do what we wouldn't be able to do on our own. Isn't that a good way to think about it? So we have the ability to speak in a language we wouldn't have been able to do on our own. We have power that we wouldn't have had on our own because the grace gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are operating in us. And the Holy Spirit is the administrator of these gifts. Verse 5, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Differences of ministries, same word, difference, diversities of ministries. The word for ministry is diakona, service. I think we associate a lot of times ministry with just apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. But like I said, we're all ministers. We're all here to serve, saved to serve. And so we all have the capability of being equipped with the supernatural ministry of the Holy Spirit. But it's Jesus particularly who calls to ministry, who puts us in the place. Actually says further on in 1 Corinthians that God places us in the body where he wants us to be. He doesn't really say in this, when it comes to this, what would you like to be, Wayne? I think I'll take what's behind door number 3. No, we don't get those choices when it comes to this. Here's what you're called to do. And we find out what we're called to do, and we flow in the Holy Spirit, hopefully in that area. Verse 6. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. Activities, things that are produced, what is wrought. Here's what the Amplified says. And there are distinctive varieties of operation, of working to accomplish things, but it's the same God who inspires and energizes them all in all. God is the power source behind it all. The Holy Spirit, administrator of the gifts. The Lord Jesus, administrator of ministries, but it's God himself who's the power source behind it all. So when you are speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's God's the power source behind that. If you're led to pray for someone and it's way beyond your faith, but the Holy Spirit has inspired that, God's the power source behind all that. You don't always We shouldn't really worry about how powerful we're feeling. How many have found it to be true that you prayed a prayer one time and you felt dead, and yet God did great things? How many have experienced that? Praise God. So it isn't by the feeling at all. It's by trusting God and recognizing this is what He told me to do. I did what He told me to do. It's going to work out like He said it's going to work out. Praise God. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Manifestation, something made clear or known or visible, the plain evidence. So the plain evidence of the Spirit is given for profit. The idea is when we experience, whether receiving or giving these gifts, we should recognize Holy Spirit's here. We're in a good place. Praise God. When Dr. Lemon comes and his feet at the floor and he's moving in the Spirit, Holy Spirit's here. But then we don't have to have Dr. Lemon here because the Holy Spirit is here, praise God. And He shows up with us every time. I don't know that He always gets to do what He wants to do. But in the long run, it'll be up to us, won't it? It's not just how sharp Diane and I are in ministering. It's not just how on key the worship group is. It's about all of us being in that place where we're focused on the Lord, and He's going to get to do what He wants to do in this place. And we make up our mind that's what He's going to get to do. Praise God. For the profit of all, the advantage of all, the expedience of all, the bringing together of all. There's supposed to be profit in these gifts. God doesn't take from us. He doesn't divide. He brings together. He adds to our lives by the Holy Spirit. Each gift is a manifestation of the Spirit, and it's a visible evidence of His activity in our midst. Praise God. I'm going to skip down and read verse 11 because it brings the whole thing kind of together. But one and the same Spirit works all these, distributing to each one individually as He wills. The Amplified says this way, but these achievements and abilities are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Spirit, Holy Spirit, who apportions to each person individually exactly as He chooses. So it would behoove us, I guess, to learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because He knows what we've been made capable of. He knows what gifts are in us. He knows who needs what. And so the more sensitive we get to the Holy Spirit as time goes by, the better things are going to be. Praise God.
Praise God. So we're going to start today. We're going to start in the utterance gifts. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit, and the first 3 utterance gifts are prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. Does anybody know what the power gifts are?
I do.
Power gifts are?
Faith. Working miracles. Right. And what's the other one?
Healing.
It gives the feelings.
And the other 3 are?
The revelation?
Revelation gifts.
Yes.
That's discerning of spirits, word of wisdom, word of knowledge.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So we're going to start with the utterance gifts today. And first one we want to look at is the gift of prophecy. And one of the things, and I'm just trying to look this morning here, and I can't find the verse. I don't know if you know where the verse is, but it talks about according to your faith. So used in the gifts of the Spirit according to our faith. So one of the things that happens is that we develop in them. It's not like the first time I'm used, oh yes, I got it all together. And no matter how long you've been used in the utterance gifts especially, you can still mess up. You know, and it's, but praise God in His grace and His mercy and, you know, love, it's okay. He still just wants us to be willing. You know, like Wayne said before, we said last week, you don't have to have your act together to be used in the gifts of the Spirit. And I'll say it again, every single one of you in this room, if you are born again, you have a gift of the Spirit. Now, if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's not going to be an operation. But if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you have a gift in you that if you're not operating in it already, God is waiting on you and He wants to know, when are you going to be willing so that I can do what I want to do? Okay? So I'm going to keep hammering on that until you start being used in what God has, gifts that God has put in you. Definition of the gift of prophecy is a supernatural, inspired utterance in a known language. So in other words, everybody here today, if you give a prophecy, it will be in English, because that's the language that we generally all speak. Okay? So, and that's, well, we'll go, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Okay. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, it says, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." So that's one of the ways that we can determine whether is a prophecy is from God, is it edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, I will say there are levels, for lack of a better way of saying it, of gifts. In other words, everybody here will be is called to be used in the gift of prophecy. And I didn't find the scripture. It does tell, do you remember where that one scripture was we found? But it says, there is scripture that actually says that all may prophesy. So everybody that is, you know, that is a child of God, you know, baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can all have the ability to prophesy. It may not be your gift per se, but you all have the ability to prophesy, okay? Mm-hmm. It whenever, you know, the Holy Spirit decides. But it's always, with a simple gift of prophecy, it's always edification, exhortation, comfort. As I said, with levels, that's the simple gift of prophecy, the gift of the Spirit. Fivefold ministry, and especially prophets, they may have more depth in their prophecy. They're more likely to have other gifts mixed in, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, maybe mixed in with their prophecy. But the simple gift of prophecy, so you may have more, not always positive things. You know, a prophet may give things that's not always edification, exhortation, and comfort, but it may not be that happy, happy, happy kind of way of giving it, okay? But the basic gift of prophecy, if someone in this congregation is to be used in the simple gift of prophecy, how do we know it's God? Because it's edification, exhortation, comfort. It is not condemnation. It is not contrary to the word of God. It is not contrary to who God is. God, it has to exalt, you know, God. It has to be scripturally line up with scripture. You know, these things. So when you hear something given, doesn't matter who gives it, those are the things that we judge it on. We don't judge the person giving it. We judge the word. And there is a difference. You know, we don't have the right to say, well, I know what they've been doing, so they can't be using. Yeah. You know, that's not up to us. If God uses them in a gift, that's between them and God. We just judge the word. We just listen to whatever's coming forth, okay?
The simple gift of prophecy has no revelation in it.
Right.
The revelation gifts have to come in with it to be more than simple gift of prophecy.
Right. And so a part of it, that New Testament prophecy is more forthtelling than it is foretelling. It's not predictive. It's, you know, speaking out, you know, like I said, edification, exhortation from God. It's not something you study for. It's not a testimony. If you're being used in the gift of prophecy, it is, it's a sudden inspiration. You know, it's like we talked a little bit about last week. If you're being used in any of the gifts of the Spirit, but especially these utterance, they're the ones I'm most familiar with. But you may have this heart-pounding feeling that comes on you, and you got to do something. You have that feeling. And for me, it's different between, you know, when I'm being used in the gift of prophecy, is I will have a word or a phrase. You know, that's all I've ever had to start out with. Other people, you know, Wayne, he may have the whole prophecy before he ever decides to do anything about it. But it's never been that way with me. It's always just a word or a phrase. So that's an indication. If you're in a service and all of a sudden you get this heart-pounding feeling, and you get this word that keeps coming, or this phrase, that's an indication that maybe you're supposed to be used in the gift of prophecy. The gift of interpretation of tongues, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, the same kind of a feeling, the same kind of a situation may be, your physical experience may be the same way, okay? Okay, as I said, it's not something you study for. So, you know, you may have an indication that you want to get up in service, and we've had this over, you know, some of you are used in this way, and it's not, you know, God can give you something that you got during the week, and it's something good, and maybe a scripture, different things, and you're supposed to share it. Praise God. I'm not saying that's not God, but it's not the gift of prophecy, okay? So that's the difference, okay? Let's see. Prophecy never confirms, it doesn't lead. So if you get a prophecy from someone and it's like totally, well, I never, that's just total news to me. Well, you need to put it on a shelf. Don't ever be led by prophecy.
Right.
If it's confirming something in your spirit, yes. If it's something that, boy, it doesn't sound, it's, I don't think it's wrong, but it just doesn't, I'm not sure. Well, then pray about it and see if it is God or if it isn't God. But we never are led by prophecy. Lots of people over the years have gotten big trouble because just because so-and-so said, you know, prophesied that this is what I'm supposed to do, yeah, and followed that prophecy and just were shipwrecked because yeah, it was not God at all.
That's right.
And as I said, it doesn't care how, it doesn't matter how long you've been at this, it doesn't matter how big of a name you have, it does not mean that you are going to get it 100% right 100% of the time, because we are human beings. We are not God. We are being used by God. You know, the more we're experienced, the more purified the words can be, but never say just because so-and-so said so, it has to be God. You know, there's, as I said, the things before we talked about, you know, for you to judge the word, any word that comes to you.
Yep.
Tongues and interpretation equal prophecy. It's just a different way of accomplishing the same thing. Okay, so it's the basic guidelines for what prophecy is like, the same thing is for tongues and interpretation when they're both given. Okay, a biblical example of this is Acts 21, verses 8 and 9. It talks about Philip the evangelist's daughters prophesied. And so that would be the gift, you know, the gift of prophecy. Okay? For myself, being used in the gift of prophecy, started in my early 20s. You know, it's not that you have to reach a certain age before you're being used. I've just been reading an article about someone who started as a child being used in the gifts of the Spirit. There is no age. The only requirements are that I'm born again, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I'm willing. I'm open to God and you know, open to being used by God, and He decides when and which gift, okay? Also, for me, it's a different unction than if it's just tongues. For me, like I said last time, the heart pounding thing. Now it's more of an unction. It's more of a knowing. You know, I have developed that far. But for me, it's tongues. There is no English words. It's just I know that I'm supposed to do something, and now I know it's tongues. But that's one of the ways for you to tell if it's a difference between, you know, is it tongues or is it prophecy. If it's prophecy, then you're going to have some English words to start with. If it's not, you know, you just have that feeling, well, then it may be tongues. Or you may start speaking in tongues in your head, but that's one way for you to tell if you, you know, you may have a gift in, whether it's a message in tongues or if it's a prophecy. Let's see. The gift of prophecy can be used in and out of the church. It's not just something that's limited, and Wayne talked about that a little bit. One of the ways, it may be for a word of encouragement. You know, you may have someone, you may have this be ministering to someone or talking to someone. You may meet a stranger and just say, you know, I just wanted to share this with you. And you don't have to say, thus saith the Lord.
Yeah, amen.
You know, I have never been used, you know, some people, that's how they start them. Thus saith the Lord, or they end them, thus saith the Lord. For whatever reason, I've always been, it's just speaking as the voice of God, just speaking it. There is no right or wrong. I've never heard anybody say that one's right, one's wrong. But, you know, like I said, with a stranger or with someone who's not open to this, you don't have to say, you know, you can just say, it's still God, but you don't have to say, God says this, you know. There is no things that, you know, rules that you say, God, I have to give this credit to God. You know what's in your heart. If you're giving it credit to God, well, that's the important thing.
God might say afterwards, don't be so quick to put my name in this.
We'll
see if it's right. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. That's why we have an excuse if we screw up. Well, thus saith the Lord, well, God said this. Well, how do you know God said this? there is no, like I said. Okay, let's see here. Anything else I want to share with this? Raise your hands if you've ever been used in the gift of prophecy. Okay, quite a few of you. Okay. As I said, every single one of you are a candidate for being used in the gift of prophecy. If not any other gift, yes. Yeah, and there's that verse, and I think there's another one too, but yes. So it's all, everybody can prophesy. Okay. Next one, gift of diversity of tongues. And the definition of this one is a supernaturally inspired utterance in a language that is foreign and unlearned to the speaker. And once again, this is different than your prayer language. You know, I talked some about last week when I was teaching, you know, diversity of tongues. And, you know, I was talking to Wayne this morning, and, you know, God told me, you know, several years ago now, and I was reading in 1 Corinthians, and I knew that I had, you know, had the gift of, you know, giving messages in tongues, but it was all of a sudden God showed me, God spoke to me specifically and said, you have the gift of diversity of tongues. And it just, like, hit me. And then later, then I realized that a diversity of tongues, because I have not read anybody or heard anybody who talks more than, you know, what I'm going to share with you this morning of stuff that generally is taught about the gift of tongues. But as I'm thinking about it, meditating more on it, there's more to the gift of diversity of tongues than I have heard taught. I cannot explain it. I just know personally for myself, as I talked about last week, I have been used in multiple languages over the years. You know, I talked about, you know, being used in specific languages. And I just was praying in tongues yesterday and then went into a language which I have not spoken in years. And it's kind of like an American Indian kind of sounding thing. But I can remember, it reminded me when, you know, talked about last time, that a few years ago, when we used to have Saturday night prayer time, and it was basically Chuck and Doreen, Bill and Wendy, and me for the most part. And I would be used in that language different times. I would go into that language, and it's a harder language to physically speak. So I know different languages have purposes. You know, I told you last time about, you know, being years ago always going into the same language and knowing I was praying about those hostages. So I don't have answers for you, but I just know diversity of tongues is more, there's more to it than just the simply giving a message in tongues on Sunday morning. I know it's that. So if you have the used in this gift, you know, be open. One of the things I would say, if you have the gift of diversity of tongues, or as I said last week, if you pray in multiple languages, if your tongues is not just your prayer language tongues, I would encourage you strongly to pray in tongues a lot, because the Holy Spirit is going to show you things, and I believe give you more understanding about this gift that there is not out there that I have not heard taught in all my years. I have not heard. There's more depth to this gift, I believe. It's not just, okay, give a message in tongues, no biggie. This is the easy one. Anybody, you know, this is, you don't have to have a whole lot to going on with this one. But I believe there's more to it than that. Okay.
It helps us understand at the end of this chapter 12, I think, is where the verse is where it says, do all speak with tongues? And the answer is no, in the sense that Diane's talking about there. All can speak with tongues as far as prayer language is concerned, but all aren't going to speak with these the linguistic ability or whatever you want to call it that Diane's talking about there.
Right. It's not a language that you know and your hearers don't. So in other words, if I got up here and spoke in Italian, which I don't know how to speak in Italian, but you guys were all speaking in English and I spoke in Italian, so, oh, wow, ooh. No, it's not a language that the person knows that the other people around them don't know. It's an inspired utterance. As I said before, it's a miracle. You speaking in tongues is a miracle. I was reading, I forget whose book I was reading, but they were talking about that they had done, someone had did a study a while back, Bill Hammond, that's who had did a study a while back, and they tested, they did these, you know, like EEGs, brain wave kind of things, and they tested people speaking in tongues, people, I think it was chanting, Buddhist chanting, and there was another one. There was three different religions, but the speaking, and what they found with when they did this is they found that speaking in tongues, there's, I think it's the frontal lobe of the brain, and I forget the purpose of the frontal lobe of the brain, but anyhow, it has to be tied in with your thinking capacity, and that, with the people speaking in tongues, there was generally no activity. But in the people with the Buddhist and the other religion, which I don't remember what it was, there was a lot of activity. So in other words, speaking in tongues has nothing to do with your mind whatsoever. It's totally spirit. And they have, and I know there's been other studies done too about this, but praying in tongues is a miracle. You are performing a miracle every time you speak in tongues. It's not, you know, too many Christians treat it like, oh, it's no big deal or something weird or whatever. No, you are operating in the miraculous every time you speak in tongues. So, encourage you once again, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Okay, another side trip here. Let's see. With your prayer language, you're speaking to God. With the, you know, gift, operating in the gift of tongues, it's God speaking to people. That's one of the other ways we know to different is the difference. In 1 Corinthians 14:13, we read, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. So in other words, if you're operating in the gift of tongues, you also need to be believing that you will be able to interpret it. Because if we go on to chapter 14, it says, you know, don't give a message in tongues in a service if there's nobody there to interpret it. So if you're given a message in tongues, then you need to expect to be able to interpret. Now, let me tell you, to not scare you off and figure, okay, I've got to be operating in two gifts when I try this. I went for years, and I did not know this is what the Bible said. And I went for years and gave messages in tongues. See, I grew up in Pentecost, and it was just like, whatever goes. There was no guidelines like go to the back of the church and wait till you're recognized, raise your hand. It was just, you know, it was growing up, and it wasn't until, you know, even at Rhema. we went to a Quaker church, and I just figured everybody was like I was. So I would be used in gifts of the Spirit on Sunday mornings, and no one ever told me I did anything wrong. No one ever said anything. You know, there was a couple comments about they compared me to a woman in Tulsa who was used in the gifts of the Spirit. But no one ever taught me, pulled me aside, and said, this is a better way to do it, you know. So I was brought up, you know, when you have it, you just let it free, and whatever happens, happens kind of thing, because God just overtakes you, and you just can't do anything about it. Well, now I know differently. So there are guidelines, and we'll talk about that probably in the future, about, you know, being used. Here you go to the back of it. Generally, if you feel used, you're supposed to be sharing something, you go to the back of the auditorium and wait to be recognized, you know, that kind of thing. You don't just throw it out there in the middle of the service. But bringing it back to my original point is I went for years when if I felt I had the unction to being used in the gifts of tongues, I would give the message. Most of the time someone interpreted it, sometimes it wasn't interpreted, but we didn't know any better. And I learned how to do it. So if you only know the message in tongues, especially here, there are people here that can interpret it. So if you say, I have this, but I can't interpret it, feel free to practice, okay? We're all in this together, you know, we're learning together. There is no book other than the Bible that says thus and thus and thus. You have to do it this way, this so, you know. Let's just do it, and then God, if God gives you the unction to do it, don't you think he's going to protect you enough that it's okay?
Yeah.
You know, I have had times in the past, you know, Wayne talked about we can mess it up. I have had times where I've had to, apologize to the congregation and said, no, that wasn't God, that was me. That's okay. You know, as long as we're in this together and you don't, you know, we're not judging each other and say, well, they didn't do it right. Yeah, you know. As I said last week, if I find out that someone picks on someone because they were used in a service, I will let you have it, because how dare you put, you know, make a negative comment to someone else who is stepping out in the things of God, okay?
Diane, she's the only one I've ever heard finish a statement and say, thus saith Diane, you know, the only person I've ever heard say that.
Okay, moving on here, let's see, where are we? So, I didn't get to that part, right? Okay, so is Wayne, we shared at the Corinthian church, there was lots of tongues, but we can take from what Paul talked about in the chapter 14 of Corinthians especially, that there was little or no interpretation. It was just a free-for-all speaking in tongues. You know, I don't know if it was competition, I can pray do in tongues better than you can do in tongues, you know, that kind of thing. And the one thing with tongues is no one can say you're doing it wrong. How do you know? It's the tongues of men and angels. If you don't know, well, it doesn't sound like a language to me. Well, how do you know it's not an angelic language? So whatever comes out, you know, if you're open to God, it's going to be okay. Okay. For myself, I started, this was the first gift that I can remember operating in. I started when I was about 21. I think the first time I was used was when we were practicing, you know, when we had our singing group and in our practices, we would spend time in prayer. Yep. And that was the first time that I can remember being used. Let's see. So, and also with this gift, it can be used in the church or in personal prayer time. Unless you know your audience, it's probably not a good one. You know, it's not likely to operate it like walking down the grocery store. You may get a little weird looks and that kind of thing. So this is more likely to be used in the church. You know, it talks about unbelievers. So there may be times when it's, you know, you're prompted to use this gift out there with unbelievers. But I would not say, yes, this is what I'm going to do. Don't make a plan, because you're likely to just be labeled a weirdo. But I'm not ruling it out that it can't be. So, and also your personal prayer time. You know, that's why I said, if you are operating in diversities or varieties of tongues, whichever you want to call it, then, you know, I would say use it, you know, pray in tongues a lot. And as I talked about last week, you know, pray that he may interpret. If you're praying along and you know it's your own language and then you switch to another language, well then, you know, take some time afterwards and open yourself up to see what the interpretation is, because that, I believe that's one of the things that God uses with this gift, is that he's going to give you interpretations more than just someone who has just, you know, their prayer language. Okay, so how many have ever been used in this gift, the gift of diversity of tongues? A few of you. Yeah. So as I said before, and I'll say it again, everyone here has at least one gift they operate in, okay? Okay, the third one is gift of interpretation of tongues. And as I said, utterance gifts, I'm used in all three of them. I've been used in all three of them the most over the years. Definition, the supernatural interpretation of a divinely inspired utterance in an unknown tongue, whereby the one interpreting does not know the tongue. It's not a translation of the tongue, but an interpretation. The interpretation will be in the vernacular of the one being used to interpret. So in other words, someone can give a message in tongues, and if they're developed in that gift, they may give a very long message in tongues. There's been times that I have given a very long message in tongues. When the person gives the interpretation, if it's someone else, and they're not as developed as the first person was, then it may be a very short interpretation. Or it can be the other way around. It can be a very short message in tongues, and it can be a long interpretation. Why? It depends on, you know, a lot of times the development of the person, how developed they are in the gift. So it's an interpretation, and it's also, it's not a, okay, it's got to be in Elizabethan English, you know, King James English. It's got to have all these big words. It is, the interpretation is based on the person being used. You know, there are times when people will be able, will interpret or prophesy, and it may be more developed is the wrong word, but their language may be intellectually more developed than they are naturally. You know, if you have, well, I don't want to do that. But anyhow, if you have someone with a fifth grade education, they're not likely to give an interpretation that would sound like someone with a PhD. You know, just their language is different because it's interpretation. So whatever your personality is, that's what's going to come out because that's who you are. God uses you, and so the interpretation, that's the words that are going to come out of you for the most part, okay? So it's not a word-for-word thing. It's a general interpretation of what is being spoken in tongues. Okay. And also, as we said in 1 Corinthians 14:3, prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. So is interpretation of tongues. If it is not edification, exhortation, and comfort, we have to question it. We question it, you know, we judge an interpretation of tongues just like we judge a prophecy. Does it line up with the word of God? Does it line up with God is loved? So does it line up with love? Is it condemning? Is it, you know, judgment, you know, whatever, negative? Then we have to question, is this the actual interpretation? Okay? Let's see. And do we have anything else on this one? Biblical illustration, we don't have any scriptures for this, but because it's used as, you know, tongues and interpretation equal prophecy, it may have been operating. You know, some of the examples we hear about, you know, the Lord spoke, so it could be interpretation of tongues, but we don't really have any way of knowing because the Bible doesn't specifically say. For this one, also started in my early 20s, as I said before, you know, for me, it's I just have a word or two to give the interpretation. Wayne, once again, he's likely to have a lot more of it before he starts. And let's see, I said share that. And I share that. And I shared that. Okay. Phew. I'm done.
It's like on your mark, get set, go, and see how fast you can go there. It's kind of, I'm thinking that if two different people saw an accident and then they came and explained it to us, it would be the same accident, but one person might explain it a little different than somebody else would. And that, I think that's how some of the interpretations come out that way.
Oh, I didn't ask. How many have ever been used in interpretation of tongues? Raise your hand. Okay. That's interesting. People that are used in tongues have also been used in interpretation. You know, is what I said before. Okay.
Yeah, praise God. And, you know, the key here is, well, there are a few keys. It's just the Holy Spirit. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. It's supernatural. It's not learned. There was a family when I was going to church in Spring Valley area, and they were from Norway. And so they were praying around the altar, and we were always praying for somebody to get baptized in the Holy Spirit and pray over them until they heard a language, you know. And it was always the tarrying and all that kind of stuff. And they were so happy when somebody actually prayed in the Spirit that they were looking for something. So this guy just started praying in Norwegian. And they got all excited, you know. But that wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was him praying in his natural language, but a supernatural language. And it usually starts, the prayer language itself usually starts with just a word, sometimes even a syllable. I was thinking about if you ever heard some of these African languages where it's clicking. I can't even do that, but you know, for us to judge it would be unintelligent to say that doesn't sound like anything to me. Angelic languages, men's languages, praise God. So we hope that it happens more in the church.
Amen.
We hope it happens more outside the church.
Amen.
We want to see manifestations of the Spirit because the Spirit's out for our good. He wants to help us. And he wants to use us to help other people. So let's be open. Praise God.
Praise God.